Have you heard? Metro by T-Mobile now includes Amazon Prime. Yes, enjoy the best of shopping and entertainment, movies, TV shows, music, free shipping, and much more. All included for just $40 per line for 3 lines. All on the T-Mobile network. Discover the smarter way. Metro by T-Mobile. That's genius. One offer per account. Offer subject to change. $12.99 per month value. Offer valid for new Amazon Prime members. Metro customers may notice reduced speeds versus some T-Mobile customers. Video at 480p. Capable device required. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Kosher Scene. This evening, our conversation will be with Ilan Kornblum, editor, publisher, and president of Great Kosher Restaurants magazine. Good evening, Ilan.
Good evening, Chaim. Good to hear from you. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. Besides, you're one of the audience's favorites anyway. They want to know what are the best and greatest restaurants. So who
People
better than you?
Yeah, people love to talk about restaurants and food, so it's always a hot conversation.
So, you've spent yesterday and the day before at Kosher Fest. What is your takeaway? What do you see the new trends? What would you have done differently? What did you like the way it was done and so on?
Sure. Okay, so this is probably my 13th year that I've been to Kosher Fest. I remember I was there at the Javits, and now at the Meadowlands, so I've kind of seen, it's been around for 30 years, so I've kind of seen almost half of its existence. It's probably, obviously it's the best show for kosher food. It's the only kosher trade show really in the States, and so it's a great opportunity for people who are doing business together, who speak throughout the year, to be able to come together and mingle and do some business. So, you know, people should understand it's a trade show. It's for business. So, and that's kind of, in the last couple of years, I'm sure you've seen, you know, the organizers really have tried to make sure that it really stays a business-to-business show. So if you're saying how has it changed, probably 5-10 years ago, you did have a lot of people who might not have been in the trade and were able to get tickets, you know, however they could, and, you know, which for me is great because I like having lots of people come and talk about restaurants, and we have the magazine, and we talk about, you know, all the different things that we're doing. So for me, it was great to have a lot of people. So definitely the show is kind of fine-tuned a little bit to a more of a business show, which really it is and it should be. So that's kind of already you can see a difference from what it was in the past. I'm mostly in my booth. You know, I have my booth. People are coming over and we're schmoozing. So I can't really go out too much. I'm always missing people who stop at my booth.
I've seen you tasting all types
yes,
of
okay,
things.
Yes,
okay.
Come
on, don't
guilty,
be so mad.
Guilty is, but you know, I had like a panel discussion on Tuesday. So I definitely was walking around and I try to go in the beginning or at the end. And sometimes I sneak out of my booth. I kind of sneak out like a 50 feet. I can still see if I'm missing anyone. So I kind of keep an eye. But yes, I definitely want to see what's going on. So it's like a big kiddush, everyone calls it. And so for me,
right?
You know, obviously the whole joke is you got to start out with dairy. You got to be able to have some breakfast. So there was some fantastic lox, smoked lox. So I had that with bagel and cream cheese, a real nice Jewish boy that I am. I started off with that. You know, they had some bagel pizza. You want to get something nice and warm, especially on these kind of cold days. But what I liked is, you know, kind of some interesting flavors. You know, Mikey's always interesting. He always comes up with some nice flavors. They always have a nice big booth. You know, they had a lot of different drinks. There was something interesting. I even like, you know, there was like a really good chocolate. I think Choco Jolie's, I forgot what the exact name was. Hand-painted chocolate. Everything was really like an art. Every piece of chocolate was handmade. So that was kind of really cool. That was kind of different. But, you know, again, a lot of things you kind of see every year. I would like probably to see a little bit more healthy items and not just healthy cookies. There's a lot of different items that are, you know, they're cookies or they're cake or they're chips or they're breadsticks or they're, you know, and they're kind of low calorie. I'm looking for something that's going to be nutritious, that's going to be hearty, and that's going to be good for you. A lot of times we're eating a lot of the stuff that's fried or is, you know, a lot of carbs.
Right.
And so, especially if, like, I'm at Kosher Fest and I'm hungry.
I noticed a lot of vegan and plain vegetarian stuff more than ever before. I also noticed a lot of gluten-free items, far more than ever before. And one thing that I found very, very interesting and actually thought of it as a welcome thing, I am a South American after all, and we are used to plantains.
Right.
I actually found somebody who distributes different plantains in very different forms, as croutons with various flavors, just about everything you can think of. Ecuadorian plantains, which...
Sure.
As a South American, finally, here in the great United States, I can have something that I used to have as a kid.
Right. No, that's something different. That's what we want.
And it's healthy.
Yes. You know, something interesting. So is that going to be distributed throughout the country? Are they going to be in stores?
Yes, they're going to be in stores. They are being distributed by Sterling Distributors, which is a Hasidic company, small company.
Okay.
In fact, their booth was right next to Quality.
Okay, good.
Quality
yeah.
is a gigantic company.
Yeah.
Here was this tiny little company, Sterling,
mm-hmm.
with that item that was very, very well received.
Right. And by the way, that's what the beauty of Kosher Fest is, where you can have a huge company with so many different products, and you can have a small company and kind of just be able to be on the same, you know, level and just be able to show
that's
people
right.
what they can do.
With the
and
same
you hope
level
to,
of exposure.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. And you hope to really catch people's eye. And you're really looking, you know, for them, they're looking for the buyers from these huge supermarkets that are really interested. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's what they want.
Right.
They want to find that one guy who's going to give them an order that's going to set them, you know, for their year. And so you hope that's
mm-hmm.
really, you know, it comes down to orders and it comes down to, you know, getting your product in the supermarket. So for them, you know, I hope, for the little guys, this is a good chance to really get your name out to buyers and be able to really taste and talk to the person. And so that's really what it's all about.
Now, let's turn a little bit to your magazine. Great Kosher Restaurants magazine. How has it changed over the years? When you first published it, your very first
right.
issue, how many restaurants did you have at the time, and how many restaurants are you featuring now?
Okay, so we haven't spoken in about a year or so. So I actually,
right.
this is funny because this is all live, so we haven't even spoken before this really about it. We've phased out the magazine because of social media and because of the internet and because of Facebook and Instagram, but, you know, definitely the magazine is what started me. You know, I started 15 years ago. There really was no magazine that's in color that showed the beauty of kosher restaurants. So I came at a great time. I came before Facebook.
There
was
nothing like it. You
there
were
was
the
nothing
pioneer.
Like it. Right. It was Facebook, Instagram. You know, it wasn't cool to take pictures of your food. You know, it wasn't. It was just. There was a listing. All there was is, you know, in the Jewish press was you had an address, a phone number, and the supervision, and
right.
that was it.
Right.
And no one really could get a feel for what the restaurant was, what it looked like, what dishes they served, what the chefs were about, you know, the ambiance. And we really, you know, took it where we can now people can be proud of kosher restaurants. You can have beautiful pictures. You can have beautiful dishes. That people can see. So, 2003 is when I started. The first magazine came out in 2004. We had about 100 restaurants, maybe even 90 restaurants. It was mostly around the New York, New Jersey area. I hustled. I went around to all the restaurants. I told them that this is, you know, a cool magazine that we're going to do. And thank God, people loved it. You know, it really was a niche market that people who like to go to restaurants, who like to talk about food, it almost put them on the same level as like a non-Jewish magazine where people can look through it and they can talk to their friends and, wow, I've never been there before and this is a gorgeous restaurant and I heard about it, but now I see it. So it really gave a visual to what the restaurant was. And, you know, 13 years later, I had, you know, over 10, 11 magazines and we had over 250 to 300 restaurants. It was fantastic. People kept looking for it,
but it was very, very time consuming. Plus, because of this age of information that's so powerful and so quick, that things change within a few months. Chefs change.
Right.
Locations change.
Constantly.
Menus
right.
change constantly, always. And so the magazine was a great resource because it gave you a nice overview of what the restaurant looked like. It gave you a nice idea of what the menu was like. But I wanted to go beyond that. I wanted to go, you know, to find out, you know, what makes this restaurant tick. Go behind the scenes, go into the kitchen, do video, you know, take pictures, talk about what specials are going on that night and tell people about it. And so when Facebook started becoming big, we jumped on the bandwagon. We had a Facebook page, regular business page that was very busy and popular. And then all of a sudden, groups started coming about, Facebook groups.
Mm-hmm.
I saw some recipe Facebook groups. I saw some, you know, Simcha groups and all that. I said, you know what? There's no kosher restaurant group that people can talk to each other about kosher restaurants. And I started that pretty much exactly 4 years ago, actually. And that has revolutionized what I think the game of kosher restaurants. People now get their information online. They talk to each other. They talk about where they should mm-hmm. go, what you recommend. They share their experiences. They ask questions. So we've built this community of consumers who talk to each other and are able to bounce ideas off each other. And so they ask, where is there a good place to go in Manhattan? Or I have a wedding to go, you know, a birthday to go to, or I'm celebrating an anniversary. Where should I go? And it gets people talking. So it's not just me putting out information and people listening or reading, but it's them getting into the act. It's them, you know, being part of the process. And that's what I love. I love the dialogue, you know, people talking to each other and communicating and finding out where they went, what they liked. And so that's really what it was. And thank God 4 years later, we have almost 49,000 members. It's the largest kosher food group in the world. You know, we've transitioned into Instagram, over 23,000, you know, on Instagram. We still have our website that gets about 1 million views. So that's where we went from the magazine to social media, to the internet.
To the new media.
To a new media. And I caught on, thank God, also just at the right time. And thank God the magazine helped me get my foot into the door and allowed me to get this group running on all cylinders from the get-go. I had that connection with all the owners. I had the experience of what it took to, you know, work with restaurants and understand the whole industry. And so it allowed me to really give a good perspective into the whole restaurant scene.
Yes, I remember years ago when I first started my blog, I had heard of you, but I had never met you at the time. But I did meet you as I was talking to a restaurateur, and you were standing right there behind me, listening into the conversation.
I wonder,
I thought it was very
good. Gaucho, by the way? Where? Which one? Do you remember?
Kolbe in Manhattan.
Ah, very good. Kolbe. You have a good memory. Very nice. Yeah? Kolbe's been around for a long time. That's so funny you remember.
Yeah. You were standing right behind me. At first, it didn't hit me who you were, and then suddenly did.
Yeah, very nice.
Anyway.
And we've become friends ever since.
Anyway, life goes on, and what looks like a bad thing at one point actually doesn't turn out to be bad in the long run.
Right, I remember the pictures. Yeah, it was about pictures or something. That's so funny.
Right. Yeah. Then there was another time when you asked me about some pictures for one of the restaurants. It now has a second one in Brooklyn. At the time, it only had the Manhattan location. I remember that too. Yeah.
Which one was that?
I have the name on the tip of my tongue, and I can't...
Wolf and Lamb, or...
Wolf and Lamb, yeah.
These are classic restaurants.
That.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, talking about... let's start with a little bit about the new restaurants.
Sure.
What are some of the new restaurants that have sprung up in the last year and actually lasted through the year?
So, let's see, in the past year, let's go through, let's say, Manhattan. So you want to talk about, you have a Baita, that's a new dairy restaurant on the east side that opened up this past year and it's doing very well. You have Barnea Bistro. It's a meat restaurant also on the east side that's pretty new, that's doing nicely. You know, you have Paprika that's about a year or so old in their new location. You have Boru Boru on the Upper West Side that's new, which is, and, you know, real nice, cool restaurants. You know, that's really, especially for Manhattan, you got to be cool and trendy, and you got to attract, you know, kosher and non-kosher restaurants. So those are the ones in Manhattan. And then, you know, let's say in Long Island, obviously you have Doma, which has been around for a year, probably almost two now. That has really changed the whole landscape of the five towns. People who live in Cedarhurst, in Lawrence, Woodmere, they're not going to Manhattan as much as they used to because
it's too
they
far.
Have a very
and
cool restaurant.
No reason anymore, right?
Yeah, they got Doma. They have 550.
Doma,
also a very
who became
good restaurant.
Famous with their $1,000 sandwich.
Right, exactly. Yeah, we're talking about marketing. But, yeah, so that's they're really doing a great job. They're about to open up another restaurant, Streets, in a few weeks. So that's going to be really cool. I'm sure you'll like
also
that.
Also in the five
international,
towns?
Also the five towns. Yeah, it used to be in the same location as Hapina on Cedarhurst Avenue. And it's going to be like an international street food. So really, really interesting stuff. You know, more casual than Doma. So this is their third location, and it's going to be really fantastic already. You know, for what we've seen, it's going to be pretty cool. So Five Towns is a hot place. And then you have, obviously, you know, Brooklyn is obviously always bursting with kosher restaurants. Crown Heights, by the way, is really the epicenter.
Crown Heights has become the in location.
You got it. Yeah, you got obviously Izzy's, which is kind of the king, you know, right now of kosher restaurants and how it's gone mainstream. And Allenby is a hot restaurant, very cool, you know, a modern Israeli place. Boof and Bun, you got Basil, you have the new restaurant talking about new
Basil
Fahman.
Basil with a new chef.
Right, Basil with David. And then Fahman on Troy, the noodle restaurant.
Right.
So many, and there are more coming. So it's really cool. This is a great time for kosher restaurants. The economy is good. You know, there's obviously it's always a cycle. You're always going to have restaurants closing, but you're going to have so many, and there are more restaurants coming even.
You also have restaurants reinventing themselves, like, for example, Pescada, which finally decided that one of its locations, the original location, should become a meat restaurant.
Right. Yeah, that's, you know, they were doing very well, and they, you know, they wanted to make it a party room. So they had an opportunity to go onto Ocean Avenue M. It had a party room.
Right.
And they felt that.
And that became the dairy restaurant, the big dairy restaurant.
Yeah. And, you know, right now they have the meat one, which definitely, you know, encourage people to try out. And again, I say this all the time, give restaurants at least one chance. Let them win your business. Give them one try. You know, if you like it, great. You got a nice new restaurant you can go to. If you don't, okay, you gave them a try, you know. But really got to support your local restaurants. It's very important. I've seen.
Personally, I believe in giving them at least two tries, and I'll explain that. Years ago, when La Carne Grill was still in business, the first time I tried them after having read the reviews in the New York Times, which thought it was one of the best restaurants in New York, on a Monday night, and it was a horrible experience. But I figured, hey, everybody can have a bad hair day. I gave them a second try, and it was incredible.
Right.
So since then, if I have a bad experience, rather than reviewing it, I give it a second chance. Then if
absolutely.
It's still bad, I won't review it. I will not give it a bad review, but I will never go back again either.
Right. Yeah. Again, people, they write off these restaurants on the first time. It could be, like you said, it could just be an off night. It could be the chef, you know, wasn't there, or they were understaffed or over or too much. Again, you don't have to give excuses, but, you know, things happen. People are human. People make mistakes.
Of course.
But, you know, end of the day, most of them are just trying to do a good job. And if you explain to them, you know, every restaurant, by the way, wants you to leave happy. I never met a restaurant owner that says that they don't want their restaurant customers to be happy. They all want them to go home happy. So,
of course, because it's the only way they're going to get back business.
Right.
They're going to get repeat business.
Yeah. So if, and I always preach this, if you are not having a good time, if you, you're, whatever it is, the service is slow, or you feel, you know, the temperature of your meat is not exactly what you want, you say something, because then they can fix
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
They can't do anything. When you leave and you go on to Yelp, you know, that night, and you blast them, they can't do anything. And, you know, people sometimes they say, oh, I don't want to say anything, it's embarrassing, but don't you want to have a good night? What would you rather have? Be, you know, a bad night and not be embarrassed? So people
Let's
have
face
to...
it, if you're going
to
spend that type of money, you want the best possible service.
Right, right. And
Otherwise,
I always find it ironic where... Right, and I always find that ironic that they go on Yelp and they're not embarrassed
right.
to lace into the restaurant. And they could have just
on
said
Yelp,
something nicely to the manager.
To complain, hey, I need a better steak or whatever. The steak is wrong temperature or whatever.
Right. And
right.
90% of the time, they'll change it. And if they don't, then maybe.
They
but
usually
then,
do.
Right, exactly. And so that's what I really... And I think that's changed a little bit. I think, and hopefully with my group and other, you know, people who understand the industry are trying to show the perspective of, you know, say something, you know, to if you feel like you are not getting what you deserve, speak up and, you know, you'll have a good time.
Now, let's talk about the restaurant's atmosphere. One of the most beautiful restaurants in the kosher world that I've seen, whether here in the States or in Europe or in Eretz Israel, or even in South America, is a place like the Reserve Cut.
Right.
Now, I understand it was originally built, it was supposed to be a non-kosher restaurant, something happened, and
right.
they
yep.
Took it grabbed
over.
It. And
yeah.
especially as you walk through that wine room, it's incredible.
Right. Yeah, the hall is beautiful, magnificent, yeah.
Absolutely. If that does not make you hungry and thirsty, there's got to be something wrong with you.
Yeah, you know what? That's a perfect example of a kosher restaurant that needs to attract and appeal to non-kosher crowd as well.
Absolutely.
You know, because a lot of times what
way.
Happens is, yeah, well, a lot of times...
The area,
right.
Considering the area, if it would attract only the kosher consumer, it would be in deep trouble.
Right.
Rent is very, very expensive. So you have to be a great restaurant that happens to be kosher.
Right. Yeah.
And
because
that's
a lot
of how
times
most
what happens...
of the upscale kosher restaurants exist. They
yeah,
attract
yeah.
a non-Jewish clientele as well because they are that good, because
right.
they have that great selection of wines, because they have a great selection on their menus.
Yeah, because what happens is usually, let's say you're at a business meeting and you have to go out with a Jewish colleague. You've got to go to a kosher restaurant for that Jewish colleague.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have, let's say, a table of 10. You're going to have one Jewish guy and the rest are non-Jewish. And so
right.
you don't want to embarrass the Jewish guy. You don't want him to go to a restaurant. So the restaurants know this. So they know that if they do a good job, then their company will come again, and they'll take another
exactly.
Jewish guy. So,
and not only that, but I've seen the many times that I've been at Reserve Cut, I've seen quite a few non-Jews not necessarily sitting with Jews, but just by themselves.
Yeah.
Because the food is that good.
Yeah, again, a lot especially with sushi and... You know, the way that,
right.
listen, it's a beautiful restaurant, it's great service, the food, quality, you know, and that's what you get. And I hope that people are proud of what they have. I think, you know, people in Detroit or live in Cleveland or in Baltimore, you know, they're not getting what we get. And I think we're spoiled a little bit. We don't realize how good we have it in New York and how many restaurants. And to be like, and we're picky. You know, oh my God, this person, you know, this restaurant, that restaurant. We have so many choices here in New York and New Jersey. And people have to really appreciate
what we have. We also
have
lots of
have.
Choices in Miami. I remember the first
exactly.
time I went to Miami, I was there
yeah.
for a week. Every meal we ate at a different restaurant.
Yeah.
And we still didn't get to sample all of them.
Yeah, Miami's
Harding
a huge.
Harding Avenue with that whole
yeah.
restaurant strip is incredible.
Exactly, yeah, Surfside, that's restaurant
And, of course,
row.
In the middle of the winter, you meet every New Yorker. You wonder if
right.
there is anybody left in New York.
Exactly, yeah. Well, today is snowing like crazy. I think everybody wants to go to Florida.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a little bit of a New York. But, yeah, Florida is definitely a foodie town.
Yeah. So tell me, in the few remaining minutes that we have, where do we go from here as far as kosher food, as far as kosher restaurants?
So I would hope... You know, that we continue to do a lot of ethnic restaurants. That's what I'm looking for. I don't want the same sushi in the steakhouse. I'm looking for, you know, it's a shame. We don't have any glatt kosher Indian restaurants. I would love for them to somehow bring it back. You know, we have a restaurant, Marani, the Georgian restaurant in Queens.
Yes, yes.
You know, really
superb
great.
Superb restaurant.
Yes, different. You know, you're trying things. First of all, I love having things that you can't pronounce. That's when you know when you're at a good restaurant, when, you know, you don't know what you're exactly eating. But all these cuisines and, you know, again, you can talk about Thai and Vietnamese, which you have a little bit now, and even Ethiopian and real, you know, French and real Italian and real authentic ethnic restaurants. That's what I'm looking for. I would love to see more of that really, you know, kind of cuisine really to change. So I'm hoping...
Well, in Manhattan, you have a little bit of Italian dairy restaurants like Noi Due.
Right. Yeah, shame that Vabeni closed, but, you know, Noi Due is great. You have,
yes.
You know, you definitely have some restaurants. You have Persian with Kolbe, but I think there's more.
Right.
I think there's certainly room for different cuisines that's going to be, you know, kind of expand our palates. You know, I think already we want more.
Last week in Crown Heights, Pho Minh, for example.
Yes.
The Vietnamese restaurant, very interesting food. It exposed me to flavors I had never tasted before.
Yep.
And yes, there is a little bit of room for improvement. But when Levy, the owner, spoke, he definitely acknowledged that the whole thing, the whole is a work in progress, meaning he's working hard to make it even better.
Right.
And that's what you want in a restaurateur. You don't want a restaurateur who thinks he's the greatest, that there is nothing to improve, take it or leave it. You want somebody who is willing to adapt
exactly.
the clientele.
Yeah. Even the best restaurants always have to evolve and come up with different things and make it fresh and exciting.
You can't sit on your laurels because it gets boring.
Right. Can't be content. Absolutely.
Okay. And we're just about out of time. Thank you for coming on our program. As always, you're very informative.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. And tune us in again next week at 10 o'clock when we will have a pre-recorded program, which I did at Kosher Fest with Menachem Lubinsky, talking about the state of kosher in America. Good night, one and all. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Kosher Scene. Good night.
Have you heard? Metro by T-Mobile now includes Amazon Prime. Yes, enjoy the best of shopping and entertainment, movies, TV shows, music, free shipping, and much more. All included for just $40 per line for 3 lines. All on the T-Mobile network. Discover the smarter way. Metro by T-Mobile. That's genius. One offer per account. Offer subject to change. $12.99 per month value. Offer valid for new Amazon Prime members. Metro customers may notice reduced speeds versus some T-Mobile customers. Video at 480p. Capable device required. See store for details and terms and conditions.